Blog Talk Radio.
Chris Thomas is doing. So my main thing now is
trying to help businesses, especially now, who have lost a lot of money, to get them back on their feet, as well as I have a TV show out here in Bowie. I got some good news. I'm going to be going on a national cable network soon. So I'm just doing it, Russell, and glad to have you as a friend, brother.
Well, it's an honor to have you as a friend. I watched you for years craft your craft. I mean, I watched you really hone in on your craft, and you've always been funny. And like you say, you kept yourself together. Your health-wise, you look the same as you did yesterday, today, and forever. You're like Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy got an award at the Kennedy Center, and he said, "You know what? It's good to get this award, but what's more important is I look like I did years ago when I didn't have an award." And that's the key. You look the same, Chris.
Exactly.
I mean, you can still do the Cabbage Patch. Tell us about the Cabbage Patch.
I can still do the Cabbage Patch, brother.
Cabbage Patch.
And let everybody know on your show, that's my dance. I don't want to see that dance. They gave it up. When they gave it up, I kept it.
Yeah, you can do it. You say, and you get on the stage, and they put the DJ put the music on. I say, Chris can still do the Cabbage Patch. I mean,
yeah, that's another sign of your age, is certain things that you can do. And I mean, the one thing about your body is you have to test it every now and then. Not overexert yourself, but sometimes you gotta, it's like dancing. When everybody do the hand dance, that's the feat within itself, because you're doing a bunch of turning. You gotta be coordinated. So that's a test in your ability, even at an older age.
I agree. Most people like that hand dancing because they say it keeps them in shape, and it keeps them from being stiff. And they hand dance until their 90s. I've seen some 90-year-old men and women out there hand dancing. I mean, it's one of the dances that – it's a dance that D.C. is known for. I mean, it's the dance that if you come to D.C. at some point, you're gonna see hand dancing. It's like go-go. Go-go is now the official music of the D.C. But you mentioned some places when you were talking about places you had been in D.C. People don't realize that D.C. is totally gone. The Carol Robinson Show and Ibex and places that you perform, D.C. has changed tremendously.
Yes.
Now, is the improv still open on Connecticut Avenue?
Yeah, but don't forget that Mayor Bowser never opened up the city. So, no, because no one can make money with a half a full audience. Now, I did the Burstmere.
Right.
I did the Burstmere a couple months ago with Huggy Lowdown. And they had 250 people out there with Huggy. And I think he did it a month ago again. He did it. And they was probably one of the few acts that's been out there since this pandemic to actually pack the house. So kudos to Chris Paul and Huggy Lowdown.
I heard they had a show. At first, I said, that can't be true. They can't have a show in the middle of the pandemic. But somebody said they had a show at the Birchmere, and there was people in the audience.
Yeah, I was there. I mean, I did the show right in the heat of the pandemic. All people got to do is keep their mask off. Keep their mask on, excuse me. Keep their mask on. And what people don't understand, gatherings mean if you're in a crowd, and three or four more people got the virus, yes, you're acceptable on getting it. If you're not around a big crowd, then, and you're not, you know, like if we're in a Burstmere and everybody's spread out and everyone is not gathering, you know, where they're talking and that droplets are all in the air, you got a good chance on not getting it. And another thing, people should now, this should be the point where people now know they have to take vitamins and keep their body strong. That's what the doctor said. If the flu has been around, pneumonia has been around, and other catchable germs have been around, and guess what, Russell? We didn't take a vaccine for a flu. My body is strong enough where when the flu comes near my body says, you better get on out of here. My body turns into Muhammad Ali. My blood cells, they get to fighting back. So that's all people got to do. You got to live your life. You're going to die anyway sometime.
After the Super Bowl, they're complaining about the party they had last night with masks off. They say it was a super spreader. They said the people were supposed to be putting their mask on and social distancing. They say when they won that Super Bowl last night, Tampa got crazy. They said they got pictures all on the news, man, where they ain't got no mask on, they howling, screaming, and partying party in the candle. But that was a heck of an event. I guess people just couldn't hold back.
Well, holding back don't mean catch that virus. I mean, I wouldn't have went. I would have went to the game, and after the game, it was enough when they had everybody on the ground, I guess, when they had the halftime performance. And
right.
They had all the fans on, you know, to watch the gentleman. He did a great job. I love those records. And man, hey, they must have more. They have confidence. I can't do it like that, Russell. And even when they didn't have a pandemic, I didn't like being in large gatherings anyway.
Yeah, too much. Sometimes, like you say, I go to the caucus every year. I've been going to the caucus since 1972. Last year was the first time they had no congressional black caucus. And I don't believe they're going to have one this year either. I think this is going to be a downtime year also. It's going to be maybe 23, 24 before we can really have something. But they're talking about the stimulus packages and giving everybody money. They're saying they're going to give everybody $2,000 more. They're going to up the ante for the unemployment to about $800 a week for another year. So people won't be broke, and they can put some of this money in out to help some businesses. What do you think about that?
Well, we interrupt this conversation for this breaking news. Hello there, this is Ted Koppel. Going back with what Russell just said, they said the pandemic may never leave. It may be here for the rest of our life. Now back to Russell Price. Yeah, Russell, I can just tell you this, and you might have to repeat the question because I was listening when you was talking about the pandemic. And the news was just saying that this virus is probably going to be with us for the rest of our lives.
Well, what I was saying is they're talking about giving everybody $2,000.
That's no money.
And they're talking about giving unemployment another $800 a week for another year. And that's going to stimulate the economy because people will spend that money. And then they'll possibly open up the city sometime in 2023.
Oh, that's no money. What is $2,000, Russell, unless I live in New Bern, North Carolina? That's no money, man. Do you realize the average person's mortgage? I live out here in Bowie, Maryland. And thank God that everything is taken care of, you know, the house and everything. But just imagine you live in Washington, D.C., and just to accumulate, even if they sign that people don't have to pay their rent or their lease or their house mortgage, it's still going to add up. So that means that you might go back. If you had just bought a house, you're actually, the money that you put down on the house, you're going to have to make that back up because unless you are still getting a government paycheck. If you're getting a government paycheck, you are in the clear, or you're still getting paid to be off work. But that's no money. $2,000 is no money. You spend that. I can spend that in a week or a day.
Yeah. Or a day.
Or a day.
People still running out to different venues and gambling like that, man. They still gambling $2,000 or $3,000 a day.
Guess what? And guess what? They know that, too. So they never close down the MGM or Live or none of those places. Horseshoe Casino, those places are still open. No drinking, because that's one of the big spreaders too. When people drink, they become open. Alcohol, it's the truth about alcohol. If you want to hear the truth, get a person drunk, and they're going to tell you everything.
Well, they tell me now that the MGM is allowing alcohol to be served now. They're serving alcohol now. Back in, they don't care. The casinos and the lottery and the liquor store don't care. Like they say, you can go to a liquor store, and you can't go to church. I mean, they don't care. They ain't got no cut card when it comes to liquor and lottery and gambling. They say they can do that. All throughout the pandemic, they allow you to do that.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I was this is a place called The Bottom Line out in Clinton next to BK Miller's. And I was glad to see them back open. They seem to care. I mean, if you get up off the table, immediately the guy or the waitress will go and they'll disinfect the table. But I'm glad to see them open. I don't want them to be too fast to pack it in just so they can make that money, anticipating that they're going to close the county down again or the city. So I'm glad to see, because I hate to see some of these places not open. And just because people have money, a place that I was going a lot called the Fish Market out there on Indian Head Highway, I don't know what happened, but they end up, I think they're selling the place. So we already know that's going to change because of the people who are buying it. They're probably not into what the old owners was into. They're not going to.
They boycott that place, man. They had a problem.
No, you're talking about Sunnybrook, not the Fish Market.
They boycott the Fish Market, man. They had a
Yeah, they boycott the Fish Market, but I was out there I saw it the other day. And it's up for debate because 99% of the black people were going to the Fish Market. So the other day I went past there and I saw people in the place patronizing, and people gonna go where they want to go if they have a good
people
time.
In the Fish Market. You saw somebody in the Fish Market just recently?
Yeah, it was open the other day.
I thought they had shut the place down, boycotted it, and they shut it down, and it was up for sale. And nobody in their right mind, they said black would go back in there ever again. That was they boycotted that for about 6 months straight.
Well, it was a friend of mine who used to work in there, and they were to sing in the band. And those listeners who know, he had a legitimate excuse, regardless of the what the owner said. And he said he went out and he spoke to them, and he said, "Look, man, 99% of the black people in this area come to this place. Now, I've been working here for 15 years, and I've always gotten a paycheck. Now I don't have nothing because it's not open. So y'all really don't know, just because he said it out of his mouth, that him and his wife, they give a lot of money to black kids. They buy them book bags, and they do a lot of stuff." That's all I don't know. I know the owners out there, but
what happened, Chris? What happened? I'm very familiar with it because they were boycotting it, and they were coming on my show, coming on WHUR. The man has been doing it for years. It wasn't a one-time incident. See, what the problem was with that was he's supposed to be some kind of alcoholic. And his wife.
Yeah, he is. He is an alcoholic.
And his wife was trying to do damage control, but it wasn't his first rodeo. I mean, he had cussed people out, said the N-word when Obama got president. He talked about him like a dog. It was a crazy. They really. People sat out there in the cold, man, in the hot sun, man. It wasn't no lightweight thing. It was in the hot, you know, in the heat of Black Lives Matter. The guy had a Black Lives Matter T-shirt. It was a whole bunch of stuff in there. I'm surprised it's back open. I'm surprised anybody going in there. I really am.
Well, I think.
Well,
I'm
when he was talking about
spoke it up about them being open.
If you don't want your $2,000, you can
be correct because during the time before the pandemic, I would go in because two of my friends was playing in the band, so that's how they made their living. And once all those things occurred, I don't think they was prepared to go anywhere else because it wasn't like the club was – the restaurant was fading. It was getting stronger and stronger. So I'm just glad.
They made a lot of money, Chris. Years ago, a lot of money. They made a lot of money. I was the Prince George's County police officer, and they made a lot of money. I'm telling you, that place made millions a year, you know, every year, because blacks was in there. Oak Tree
exactly.
had closed, and the blacks went in there like it was water. And
well, that's the point I'm trying to make. That's where our urban brothers and sisters like to hang. So I think I guess that suffering that he went through with the pandemic and with Black Lives Matter, I guess people are good to forgive and forget. His wife is a good person, and she was trying to explain. And we all ain't perfect. Depends on how you look at it. But me, Russell, you know, I used to see you out.
Well, you know, I used to see you out at your events.
But just imagine you just can't go nowhere, bro. Just imagine you can't
go
nowhere.
Can't go nowhere. Well, but here's the situation right now. Everybody is sensitive to anything that's controversial with black, like that comedian. It was the number one country western singer. He was walking up his driveway, talking to his friends. He wasn't calling nobody the N-word. He just said the N-word. And they canceled his contracts. I mean, he got some backlash from him. It's off the chain. And he was not calling somebody the N-word. He just said the N-word.
The crazy thing about all of this is God made everybody a different color. He made, just like he made flowers, just like he made different animals. Now, at the end of your life, we've all done got a little angry and called everybody something. If they piss us off, so I'm gonna give everybody a break. That's the kind of guy I am, because I believe people can change. I have friends that I hang out with, Russell, and sometimes I go through it. They get a little tipsy, and the next minute I'll be sitting at the end of the bar minding my business, and here comes a target or someone want to say something. And I was saying to myself, I'm proud and honored to be around my, you know, people that I call my friends. And they should feel the same way. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people, you know, when people start drinking and start cursing, I'll go spiritual on them. And you know what? That really pisses them off, and I just don't care. I said, I didn't come here to hear all cursing. And if anybody who's listening know and been around me, they know that I'll go spiritual on them in a minute. And all of a sudden, they act like God supposed to give them a break. I said, look, bro, you're about to leave out of here and you're going to drive. You don't know. You may not never be able to just spiritually, just call you getting tipsy don't mean that you got a curse and hoop and holler. Just be good. Be the person that you came in here as. Or a young lady come in here, be the person that you came in here as. Don't leave with a whole attitude. We arguing about black and white, Tom Brady versus Mahomes. Why everything got to be about color? Let's just be about winning and who prevailed that evening. It's like me being on stage. Me and Bernie Mac used to be on stage, and God bless his soul, because me and Bernie used to be on tour. After we did some dates, and then one day he told me to go on tour with him. We went on tour for 3 years. So I would go on stage. I would do a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I would do the best jokes that I ever came up with about my life. Bernie, after the show, would come up and he said, Chris, you got your man tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't you hold back because you ain't holding back. Don't worry about it. You always going to be on tour with me because you make me work hard. So every night, it wasn't competitive, but he knew in the audience because I would go out there and I would slay him. And I knew he was coming with it. And I didn't want to hear people say, yeah, he was a good show, man, but Bernie was really funny. I said, I'm going out there and I'm going to do what I do. And I would go out there and Russell, you've seen many of my shows. You've seen many of my shows. I go out, and Bernie was just happy, man. Bernie would sit down at the end of the day. A gentleman's gentleman. This guy, after the show, he would call a restaurant, and he would ask them, would they stay open late? And he said, can you stay open a little later? I'll give you $3,000 if you can stay open an hour and a half later. Who wouldn't do that? So we would go to the restaurant. We would pre-order. We would order crab legs. I like lamb, so I got him hooked up on lamb. If you've seen on this show, he used to always have a little pot belly because he would drink three Miller beers every day. At night, that was the end. He would drink three of them. And I got him to stop smoking cigarettes. But Bernie was great, man. I mean, everywhere we would go, bro, this guy right here, he spared no expense. He spared no expense. Saying that when I toured my tours, I spent money, but I didn't. Bernie and Jamie Foxx, the Russell Simmons Def Comedy Jam tours. These people, you know, I'll get paid to do a show, but what they would do, they would give you a per diem. A per diem means that you can either eat their food or they'll give you $150 a day. That's what the football players were talking about. They said they get so much money for a per diem, they didn't even have to spend their salary because that money that they would get for playing those games and being out every day, they were still paying their bills, so they had put that money into savings, and they never had to touch it.
Well, you know, a lot of people come in town, and before the pandemic, a lot of people used to be coming in town for conferences and stuff. They get like $250, $300 a day per diem, and what they would do is go to the Airbnb rather than go to the hotel. And they would pocket that money. They wouldn't spend that money on
food. That's what we used to do.
Right.
When I was on tour with Luther Vandross, they used to have so much gourmet food, bruh. This is when Luther first lost his weight, when he became skinny Luther. And, man, every night, crab claws and prime ribs and all of that, and I was like, and they would give you the per diem and say, well, if you don't want this, you can go. I was like, cool, look at all this food.
I'll eat this.
I would hate for them to waste it. You understand? They would give it in your dressing room. They would give you Dom Perignon, caviar. And if you didn't eat it, they would throw it away. I hate people to waste
food. Throw it away,
food.
Right. That's, you're like me, man. I go on tour, but I go to different, you know, events with the magazine, and I'm saying they got all this food spread out. I said, I'm going to take some of this food, man. I mean, come on. I mean, they're going to throw it out. You know what I mean? Because after the show is over, they throw the food out.
Exactly. Why are you wasting all of this food? All you had to do was ask me what did I want. I would have told you I needed two sandwiches, a bottle of Merlot, and we done. But to give me all these cold cuts, chicken wings, shrimp, we're talking about, and if you go into the grocery store, they have them for different types, how many people you going to have. I'm only one, or I'm with my lady friend, or I got my manager. And that's it. Or I might have some people come up from the audience that I might know and let them come backstage and eat it, but not all the time because everybody wasn't meant to be backstage.
A lot of people get backstage and act the monkey fool. You know, some people get backstage, they got taken from backstage. You know what I'm saying? They should never been back there in the first place. But they come back there and get stupid. What about groupies and people women who follow you around? Do they follow comedians around like they do rock stars?
Oh yeah. I mean, not like when I was on tour and did some shows with the Beastie Boys, and this group called Fishbone. It was a rock group. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Now, and to all the ladies, do what you do. Don't let no man try to explain. See, they call them groupies, but these girls are willing, I don't know if they're there, to find a relationship, and they would do some of the things that they did. I mean, when I was on tour with Run DMC, there was ladies, they would come, I mean, beautiful, gorgeous women. Sometimes their mother would come backstage to get their daughter in, and their mother would be acting like a groupie, and she would be giving her body up just to get backstage.
Wow.
I'm telling you, bro, it was, you know, you talk about, as we're talking about this now, I think as a young man, you appreciate it more, but after you become a father and you have daughters, you hope not, you hoping that, we don't know basically what they're looking for because they never said. The ladies, I know that they would come to the show and end up on the tour bus with us traveling to the next city. They would be, we had, you know, you've been one of those tour buses where they have 12 beds on the bus. They're like full-size beds. And these young ladies would travel. Now, what we would do, and we were always kind, I know I would get them a plane ticket. And I didn't mess around that much now, but every now and then you saw one that you said, ooh, that's me. So I would put them on a plane, and they was of age. Don't get me wrong. They were of age. They were over 18 years old. And we used to fly them back home. Some, they had one, these little Spanish young ladies. They followed the tour bus from city to city. Do you realize we would leave the hotel maybe early in the morning? So we would check in the hotel, go to sleep. We had to get back on the bus so we can go to the venue. Then we would come back to the hotel. Me, Will Smith, and Flavor Flav. We used to always talk. And one day, Will Smith. So Will, they had these girls. They was following us on the tour. And I guess I don't really want to say it in front of your audience, but they was doing. They was below the belt.
Giving oral.
They had a lot of talent with their mouth. They had a lot of talent.
They gave a lot of oral.
They had a really big show. So Will Smith, he brings down a young lady to my room. He said, "Chris, this young lady got a lot of talent." I said, "Man, what kind of, is she a rapper?" He said, "Nah, but she does use her mouth." And I said, "Well, okay. I'll tell you at another time, because this is like for when I do my book, this is gonna be hot stuff, man. Because people hear rumors about Jada and Will, and a lot of that stuff. I kind of saw it coming, but when I hear it now, I was like, wow." He did that when I was on tour. But guess what? Everybody got a little way of sex preferences
really
and what they like.
Is it necessary to do the red table and talk about your marriage like that? What benefit is that?
Say that again.
When you see Jada Pinkett and Will Smith and she's doing this thing she calls the red table talk, and she talks about her marriage and about her infidelity and what she done. What purpose is that? Tell me what you think purpose is that for.
Well, first of all, you're not going to be able to hurt them. They got too much money. He's too much of a megastar, and people love that type of stuff. When the last time you heard somebody get up in the morning, and even your show has to have some controversy about it? People ain't going to get up to hear about it, Sonny. It's going to be Sonny tomorrow. They want to hear some dirt.
They want to hear some big time dirt. I mean, when I do any kind of show, I talk about some kind of dirt. I want the nitty gritty. That's why it's called pulling your eyelids open. But what I'm trying to understand, I understand the dirt part. I understand the dish. That's what made Wendy Williams so big. You know, you're talking about the dirt and the dish, but when your own wife does it, when your own wife gets on the TV and starts talking about what she's done and you're sitting in front of you front of her. What I mean, what man? I don't understand that. To me, that's kind of hard to understand.
Well, Hollywood is that, as you hear about it. They out there getting it on. So like I was explaining about the tours, and they getting it on, man. They swinging. I mean, they got plenty of money. They live in these big Bel Air houses, Beverly Hill houses. No different from people living up in Potomac or living over here in Woodmore or in the Bowie
Back in the 80s here, Chris, they had a big swinging thing among blacks in D.C. The 70s and 80s, there was the swinging clubs. Black people had swinging clubs in Fort Washington and, you know, places like that. They had people, and they did it for like 10 years. And you had celebrities, and you had, you know, people who had good government jobs and people in the government. They were swapping their wives.
You're talking about
the
swinging parties where they would have sex with different other people, wives and husbands?
Yeah, you had to bring your wife, or you had to bring a girlfriend that was participant. You couldn't come by yourself. Well, you know, years ago in New York, they had a club called Plato's Retreat. And in New York, that was the number one club of a tourist attraction. People came to Plato's Retreat. When New York was New York, back in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, New York was New York. Before they cleaned up, New York is not New York no more. Back in the day, 42nd Street, there was nothing you couldn't get on 42nd Street. You had a little red light district in D.C., which was on 14th Street, and you still got a red light district in Baltimore, but New York had a serious red light district. Anything that you want to see, it was all paid. Like, you can go into a club and see a person making live sex, you know, a live, what do you call it, sexual act. You could see some kind of bestiality act. You could have, you know, the feeling things, you know, where you could feel up the women to the cages and stuff. All that was big in New York. It was in the 70s. They had a whole street called 42nd Street. It was a two-block-long street. But they also had a private club called Plato's Retreat. Where you went
I used to go to orgies back in the day, but it would be me and I guess several ladies, and that was back in a while. But those swinging things, man, this is where sex is in life. Sex don't keep a relationship together. It's just something to do. But I feel that if you're in love with someone, it's kind of the meeting of the minds. It's kind of, she stimulates your mind. And as you get older, you'll understand. When there ain't nobody around, after you get to a certain age and no one finds it cool with you, unless you got money and you can pay for attention. So I think of this day and time, it was fun just so I can experience and don't hear people tell me about it. But nowadays, it's best to find somebody that you love, that loves you. So you don't, as you get older, and is it for the young people? Hey, man, this virus ain't no joke. You know what the doctor told me, Russell? He said, Mr. Thomas, it doesn't matter that you make love to these young ladies. I'm just going to tell you, just because of the droplets, this stuff, sex is worse. Because of the droplets, this stuff, the coronavirus is worse than crack. If you're going to hit that butt, hit it from the back.
Well, like you say, right now, I tell everybody, if somebody is in your face with a mask off and tell you in their mind you are takeoff mask risk worthy, and they kiss you in the mouth during the pandemic, they like you. Because they saying in their mind they'll die for you. They don't know what you got. Even if you say you was tested, you got this virus shot and all the vaccine, still, in this day and age right now, unprotected mask love is serious love today. It ain't for the weak at heart. So I tell everybody, if you got somebody that's in your bubble, in your personal bubble, that's taking a mask off for you, then that lady loves you, that man loves you, and don't have no domestic fights, don't argue with her, don't do you get on your knees and thank Jesus that you got somebody that wants to take the mask off for you. You still got people that's domestic wise. They trying to be, you know, arguing candle. I mean, come on. I mean, I've been by myself for almost 7 months now, and I tell everybody, you know, they say, well, you know, you need to take some supplements from vitamins.
Hey, brother, what happened to the other? What happened to the other 5 months?
It's been over a year.
It's over a year, bro.
I started isolation in March. It'll be a month. Next month will be a year for me. I was not isolated prior to March. January, February, I had me some. But the bottom line is, after March, it got critical, man.
Hey, call the droplets.
Everybody said, you know, you got to take supplements. What do you take? I said, I take isolation. I said, I know that nobody come near me because I had nobody near me to give me the virus. You know what I mean? But relationships are hard. But it's even harder during the pandemic.
No, it ain't. You got to keep them smiling. Now, the one thing you don't want to be around a person that's bipolar. Don't forget, when you meet a young lady, she's kind and considerate, thoughtful. As soon as you have sex, that's when the true self comes out. Now, I've always been this way. I hate arguing. I will not argue with no one. I will be quiet. I will go. I would turn my back and move on. I'm not arguing about politics. I'm not arguing about what happened at work from a person's job unless they put their hands on my loved one. Relationships, that's when we go back to when people are alone. You know what people are, why older people argue so much? Because they ain't got nobody in their life. They done screwed over everybody, so no, it's too late. They set in their ways and they cannot be friends. I just like people keep them laughing. The biggest thing that a comedian I go through, Russell, is I think everything's so funny. That's what I do. You think everything's so damn funny. I said, well, baby,
it is funny. That keeps you going. It is funny.
When they wanted to be serious, but I keep it laughing. To all your lady listeners out there and the fellas, keep them laughing. They can't get mad.
Oh, yeah. If you can make them laugh, they'll stay with you. Women love a man to make them laugh. If you can make them laugh, they'll stay with you.
I keep them laughing. And then when I feel that they don't understand the laughter, I go on about myself. Hey, nope. I don't have to do anything that I don't want to.
No, you don't have
Sometimes
to
you can
to.
Travel on your own, and you can always meet people. But the better feeling that I have is when I travel and I meet different, when you see like North Carolina, that's one of my favorite places to travel. I love down in Charlotte or Greensboro.
Right.
First of all, I love the way they keep the state clean. The city is thick and span. You don't see paper. When you get into North Carolina and parts of Virginia, you know that they care about their state because you don't see paper on the road. You see flowers. And when you get in the city, it's just spotless. And when you
That's
meet
the people,
yeah,
North Carolina,
my
same
family
way
comes from North Carolina, where people used to wave at you, used to drive down the road, and you might have the whole block wave at you like you know them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this day and time, they giving you the finger all the way down the road. Go down North Carolina
hey,
now and try
one time.
And see if you don't get the finger.
You told a joke one time on your show, and I don't know whether it was true or not, or whether you were just joking, but you said, you got up on the stage and you said, I love the ladies and the ladies love me, and you said, all my baby's mamas came from different clubs, and you started naming the club. Was that a joke or was that true?
No, it's true. It's true. I met them at the Oak Tree. A couple was just doing favors. They were decent ladies, and they drew me in. I went over to the house. They fed me. You know, a lady feeds you a 6-course meal. Something's up. You You put her in your favorite book. Talking about a 6-course meal. Most of the meals is like 3-course. They don't usually give you the salad, apple pie, 2 types of meat, 2 types of vegetables. Yeah, all my stuff. Yeah, that's the truth. I got 4 kids by 4 different women, and I love them all. It was me. I'm the one who laid down. I did not. They did not set me up. I had a determination, Russell. Either I was going to put a condom on, or I was going to pull out when fire time came. And I didn't pull out. She wiggled, and that's when I said, "Oh, it's all yours now."
And then when I was
when I was 20, I used to date a lady that was 50. And now that I'm in my 50s, she's 80. And Russell, the other day, she called me out, Russell. She went, "Oh, she saw me in the CVS." She was like, "Crash. Damn it, that's Crash. What's up, baby? It's me, Judy." I was like, "I don't know no damn Judy. Look at me." I said, "You must be one of my mother friends." "I ain't your mother friend. Look at me, baby. You're looking good." She talking about, I'm 80 years old. I was looking at her and I said, "Safe driver, save 40%. She's like, "Nah, Chris. I'm 80 years old." I was like, "Nationwide is on your side." She said, "Chris, you know I look different. I ain't got no teeth, and I've been having a fever." I said, "Well, maybe you teasing then."
Oh, Lord, Chris, you something else, man. But no, man, you tell some good jokes, man. You tell some good jokes, and you make people laugh, and you know how to read an audience. And, you know, you do. I'll never forget that comedy connection you had in Greenbelt. That was a money-making machine. And I don't know why you couldn't. I don't know why you couldn't take that because it was branded. The name was already branded. If you could have took it and move it anywhere you want to move it to, what made you?
Well, I do have that one. I do have it, but it has such a legacy, iconic name. Till I kind of changed it to the Comedy Corner, and that's what I call my show because I've had some people. When I was doing, you remember the Comedy Corner, I was doing a couple of things in a couple of clubs, so I would move it around. Like when you came out to the pizza joint that was on top of the hill where the old Howard Johnson's used to be at.
Yeah, that was.
You remember, So what happened is sometimes I have these promoters, you know, I can't be on stage and be at the door too. And I like being around people who like earning money. I don't want to be around people who likes trying to steal money because guess what? They're stealing, and I'm the one who performing. And at the end of the day, if you ain't working with them no more, then they ain't going to make no more money. And sometimes it can be your closest friend. Sometimes it can even be your family member. People don't know what money is. That's why now just think about what you said earlier, $2,000. That they gonna give people now to an average man who's a millionaire, they ain't thinking about that money. They can give it to the dog shelter, but to a person, the average is showing you the average of people in America who don't have money. They saying $2,000 to the average person in the hood. That means a lot. That's almost like probably to them $20,000. But just remember. It's nothing. It's nothing. $2,000 is gone. Cell phone bills are sometimes $400 and $500 a month, depending on who you got. And I've been with Sprint for 20 years. I've been with Sprint for 20 years, and I wonder until I trained to get me one of those $45 phones. Huh?
The average telephone bill is $150 to $200. That's the average telephone bill right now.
That's if you got different lines. Like if I'm with Sprint, and I've been with them for so long. Guess what? That's when they had that four phones for like $100.
Yeah.
And then they start adding those taxes, and they ask you, "Do you want this on that phone? Do you want that?" Next minute, you see your phone bill. That's $400, $500. You're like, "Well, I'm only one You can only give people one number.
Yeah.
But then you're giving the phone bill out, and now your gigabytes are gone because the person that you who don't have to pay the phone bill that you gave the phone to, they doing whatever they want to do. They watching movies.
Well, they call up. See, what I do, Chris, is I don't get nobody no phone. I don't have no family plan. I got a plan of me. I'm like I tell you, if I want a fixed income, all I got to do is fix me. And I'm not
right.
having no phones out there. So I bought me a phone. I just bought a phone, man. I bought the iPhone 12 Pro. But I have 560 gigabytes on it. So
right.
I don't care what I do. I'm not going to run out of no space. I ain't going to run out. I got 46,000 pictures in my damn phone. And still got damn space on my phone. I got 2,000 videos in my phone. But I still got space that I can. If I'm filming something, I'm covering an event, and I'm filming a thing, it don't say, it stopped because you're out of space. But I'm the only person using the phone. You know what I'm saying? And I can't use a 500 subject site. This is just me. But if you got somebody on your plan, they download videos, they watching stuff, they doing all kind of stuff, and then when you find out your gigabytes is all used up because you got these people on your plan. The thing about the phone, I tell everybody, you got to be phone material. If you're not phone material, I'm not buying you a phone. You know, you wait till you get buy your own phone. You know what I mean? Because if you start buying people phones, that means that they should have no phone. It's like renting cars to people. You know what I'm saying? If you rent a car, I used to lock up people all the time because they would rent the car for somebody else, and the guy would have an accident, or the girl rent a car for her boyfriend. And then he went ran the back of somebody. I come out and I'm taking the police report. I get the registration. The car is in the lady's name that she rented for him. She went to the rental office and rented the car, and then turned
and
around and drove the car.
Insurance.
And the car's not insured nothing. Now she her whole credit list because the guy's not authorized to be on the car.
Right.
She gave the car. You know, she rented the car for her, told the rental paper, I'm renting the car. But she rented the car and gave it to her boyfriend because he ain't got no car.
Right.
And
just happened, believe it or not. When my father passed away a couple months ago, my daughter, they was coming down and she let her. And he's a good guy. Don't get me wrong, but he hadn't. He's a good guy. The thing is, he's been harassed. And I know, Russell, you was a good police officer, but he's been harassed by police till he panicked. So he was driving the car that mama rented for her, and the police got behind him. He said, now, that was all right, but they going down. They go 5 miles, police still behind him, 6 miles.
Wow.
And he just took off. He just took off. And this is down in North Carolina, around about 2 months ago. He just took off. He just panicked and took off. And there was a police chase. And luckily, they dropped the charges from him. They told him that they were on their way down to, pay respects to, to my father for the last time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But that's what happened. And Russ, I was just thinking, since it's Black History Month, we always complain about having the shortest days out of the 12 months in a year. But guess what? Guess what we get to celebrate? The Super Bowl is in February.
Oh, no question.
Ain't that something? That makes up for them other 2 days.
Oh, yeah. We get to celebrate the Super Bowl is in February, man. We at the Black History Month, we get to celebrate the Super Bowl.
Black History Month, and the Super Bowl, I never even dawned on me that the Super Bowl was always on Black History Month. So we do got
always on Black History Month. Always on Black History Month. And it's one of them things that everybody celebrates Super Bowl. Super Bowl's so big now. I mean, it's one of the biggest events of the year that everybody participates, and they sell more chicken wings than they ever sell in their life. Everybody makes money on Super Bowl. And to get a chicken down there,
if a chicken never comes in again, what we gonna eat? What is the second meat to black people if they don't have no chicken. What have they ever came up with what that is?
No, because chicken is the number one staple for black people, man.
What's the number two staple for black people? You need to have one of those Steve Harvey TV show moments and find out what is the second alternative if there was no chicken.
Yeah, if there was no chicken, what would black people eat if there was no chicken?
Would it be meat? Would it be pig feet? Would it be chitlins?
Chitlins? Would it be collard greens? Would it be
turkey? Would it be a turkey leg?
Black people don't have a staple food, though. Chicken is a staple food. I mean, that's the number one thing that if you ever took a black person to your house, you know they most people would feed you spaghetti. If you're Italian and you go to an Italian's house, they're gonna have spaghetti.
Right.
But if you go to a black person's house, they're gonna have some chicken, man. Fried chicken or and now with the air fryer, I bought me an air fryer. I mean, I discovered an air fryer and it's the most awesomest thing for chicken.
Well, I want to tell you what you need to cook in it or cook on your. Now, I'm going to tell you the second alternative for me, if it was no chicken, is quail. I don't know if you ever had quail before.
I've had quail and I've had lamb. I'm a lamb man, too. I love lamb chops. But I love quail. I love duck.
But
I love duck and quail.
There's a load of birds that got a lot of meat on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, duck don't have a lot of meat. And duck don't have that much meat on it, but it's very tasty.
Right.
But quail
has a lot of fat, right?
Yeah, duck a lot of fat, but it's a tasty meal. It's a tasty bird. I mean, a duck, suckling duck is good. I mean, but they used to have a place down there in D.C. off of 6th Street that serves duck. You know, the duck be hanging in the windows, you know, but now that
the Peking duck, you can't get no duck now, you can't go inside and sit down no more,
but they used to have some good duck back in the day. I feel sorry for the restaurants that's in D.C.
Yeah, it hasn't been open in almost a year, man. Now, and it didn't really, it went down and then it went, D.C.'s been holding steady. But like you said, Super Bowl parties, those people. Now, there's a lot of people who was in that super spreader that's not going to get it. Now, you know that virus can't touch a lot of people, but you just don't know who it is. But there's a lot of it. Look at all the million people who have caught it but are still around. But we hate to see that anyone has passed away from it. I mean, it's devastating.
Well, I know people who have passed away from it. And it ain't no pretty sight, man. And they couldn't even go to their wife's funeral, man. They couldn't even go to the ICU thing. They couldn't go. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where you don't want to get it. If you're my age, I won't survive it, man. See, I'm not in the health like that, man.
Stop saying that, man. You act like you got underlying conditions. And guess what? There's a lot of people who had a lady at 103 caught it. 103, and she came right on through.
She came right on through because she ain't had no underlying stuff, and she had to have some
underlying condition at 103.
Well, it wasn't too bad because she came through it, but the average person with the underlying conditions ain't coming through it, Chris. They gonna go out, and all they gonna say is, that's why I told my kids, man. You know, wait, I can't take the risk. Because if I get the virus, all they're going to say is Russell died. You know, Russell died. And he died.
They're going to say that Russell was at home recovering. That's what they're going to say, bro.
Yeah, recovering, man. Shit done. And then when you get hit nowadays, you got to have a recovery person in your life. See, you can't afford to get sick past a certain age. Like I told my, you know, people, I said, you know, you need to have what they call an oatmeal lady, man. Somebody, if you get a stroke or the virus jump on you, you got to have somebody that's going to feed you oatmeal and put the bib on you, or sit on your lap, and your stuff ain't working, but they're going to make sure you're happy because they're your oatmeal lady, somebody that loves you for real. But if you don't have that, man, they put you in a nursing home somewhere or you be in ICU, but ain't nobody going to see you. It's critical, man. You can't afford to be sick during the virus unless you got somebody to be sick.
Exactly. Well, I'm saying that you will. I'm saying that if they said, don't forget, they said it was airborne. If it was airborne, then we all should have it.
I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything until I see the birds drop out the fly. If the birds ain't dead, then I know that they ain't that bad. They fly around in the damn air every damn day. And they ain't got no damn corona. So if the corona ain't knocking the birds out the sky, then I ain't putting my mask on. She told her this. She said, I ain't putting nothing on because the birds are still living. And how come the birds are flying all throughout the corona air and the droplets and they ain't killed the damn bird? Ain't no bird got no damn corona 19. Why is that?
Well, because it's not that type of birds already live in the element. So God ain't going to let them catch too much. Birds got their own diseases, but the birds already, don't forget, the birds, and if you ever watch this thing called Planet Earth, it comes on TV, it comes on the BBC channel, and it be showing vultures, how vultures eat everything, like bones, they love, that's their favorite meal, bones.
Right.
So everyone,
the vultures, they wait for you to die, man. You haven't seen them in the movies, man. The vultures be swarming around you. They know somebody's dead or about to die when they see the vultures swarming around up in the air. The vultures get a hold of you, boy. They're gonna eat everything you got, man. They'll eat your bones, your eyes, your everything. They're gonna tear you up.
Exactly. I want to tell y'all your list to happy Black History Month, but treat every month as Black History, because what's happening in the world, I keep looking at these slave movies and everything, Russell, and I get it now. We'll never catch up. It's been so long since Black people had a chance here in the U.S. till we'll never catch up. How can you go for 300 years of slavery and you're going to catch up? And so many people were ahead of you. So I get it.
They're not going to let you catch up, man. There's no way. I don't care what you do in the United States of America as a Black person. You'll never outdo the white man. He created the whole thing. You can't take somebody's stuff when they make up their own stuff. They made the whole thing up. So
right.
Even if you become president, vice president, I don't care what you become, you never going to overcome the system of what they made. They made it up.
Right.
They came to America.
So we got to catch up.
And make the whole thing up.
Not gonna be to catch up. We got to stay up.
You got to stay up for yourself, but you can't outdo the system, because the system was created by the person who created it. When you come, you got to stop thinking about this, Chris. There was a land that was nothing to do with nobody but the people who lived there, the Indians, whoever was on the land. And you come to somebody's land, and within a matter of 100, 200 years, whatever, you owned it. You started deeding property. Start saying, you know what, guess what, this is going to be a deed. What the hell is a deed? Man, how are you going to take some land and make it? You just make up stuff. This is now a deed. You know, there was no such thing as no deeds. I mean, there was no such thing. Then we're going to build a house. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to have a constitution. We're going to write up a constitution of the United States. Then we're going to make everybody become a part of this thing. Africa can't do that. Look at Africa. Look at all the different continents of Africa. You don't see them making the United States of Africa. They can't get together and do nothing like that.
Yeah. It's an interesting story with the way we live, but the only thing I'm glad that God gave people that love to care about their fellow man. We're talking about clean water. We're talking about making sure the food is right. It took people also on that understanding, because they got some people who just, some people just don't care.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but no, I agree with you, man. I agree with you 100%. We take care of our people. America is the best place to live.
That's
if
exactly
you were
right.
Going to be born anywhere, it's best to be born in America. Because
I wouldn't change it even if tomorrow I had an opportunity, I would love to go and see. But guess what? If I don't know nobody over in Africa, what am I going to say? Who's going to claim me as a cousin from years past? Or
they don't have the resources to claim me. They don't have the resources to claim me. They don't have America. They got resources, and they're giving out stimulus checks. They're giving out welfare. They're giving out food stamps. They're giving out. I mean, people in America. That's why they try to get over here. You can come from Mexico, United States, and get anything immediately. You can get anything immediately. Just once you come in and say I'm in America, they give you anything to live. They give you a
right.
Section 8 house. They give you a voucher. They give you anything. Who can do that, man? But America.
Yeah, well, I believe overpopulation, but sometimes you have to know who's in your home. You got to know who's in your house, because as you were a police officer, I'm sure you ran into some people. They didn't really do nothing that bad. They made trouble come to them. You asked a person
for
their driver's license, and then he made it another issue, or ran. They were showing some people just panic. So.
It's still a risk today. You can't run from the police. You can't put a black man still has a problem being a police with the police. The police, they try to change the attitude of these white police officers and some black police officers. But the bottom line is, you have to be very careful when it comes to being stopped by the police. Or being around the police, especially if your act is not together. You know what I'm saying? If you have stuff
right.
That's not together, you need to be. You know, a lot of people got open warrants. Like I used to see, I was a different kind of police officer. See, if I stopped somebody and I ran the person's tags and ran the person's driving license and come back, you got an open warrant for child support. Well, I would intervene that. I would say, hey, sir, look, sir. You got an open warrant for child support. What I want to do is stop your car. I want you to get in my car, and I'm going to take you to the station and to the commissioner. And I'm going to wait for you. After you see the commissioner, I'm going to wait for you and then take you back to your car. The other police officer is not going to do that. They're going
right.
to say he got an open warrant. And in their mind, open warrant means he's some kind of major criminal. He's somebody that killed somebody or something. He's going to rob the bank or something. This guy's got an open warrant for failure to pay child support. It's not a bad warrant, man. I mean, I understand this type of warrant. So I put him in handcuffs and talk to him. Listen, WHUR, we ride down, talking, chit-chat, kick in, get to the station. He get before the commissioner, get a court date. I bring him back to the car. Or somebody who got an open warrant because they missed a court date. That's not a bad warrant.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, you missed a court date. That you ain't no bad criminal. You just decided you forgot your court date or you didn't go. So they entered a bench warrant for you. They entered a bench warrant. But I've seen people get beat to a pulp over a bench warrant because they missed court, because the guy was tussling and, you know, trying to act crazy. And all he got is a bench warrant. Now he got his head split. He went to PG County Hospital with 13 stitches, and he's still going before the commissioner for this lousy bench warrant. He missed a court date. See, there's all kind of warrants, man, for arrest. Don't mean you're a bad person, you know what I mean?
Right.
I used to do domestic violence the same way. I get to the guy's house, I'm the first officer on the scene, and I say, sir, get in the car right now. I want to talk to you, because if the other officer comes to you, he's going to split you, and it ain't going to be pretty, man. He's going to mess up your house, everything. I said, but I'm going to tell you what you got. And I take him on a ride around the block, man, and tell him, I say, hey, sir, you can't holler at your wife, man. You can't holler at her, and God forbid you put your hands on her. You're going to jail. You can't do this, man. You gotta stop this madness. And if I come back here again for this call, I'm going to lock you up. But if I'm telling you right now, get some counseling or make sure that you understand that you can't do what you're doing. Because that was way back in the day when domestic violence wasn't big like it is today. So you could advise warrants. You know, you could say, hey, I advise warrants. Go get your husband locked up. Nowadays, somebody's going to jail. Your wife called the police, you're going to jail automatically. They're not leaving the hospital. You're going to jail. So all that stuff, you got to know what you got. Still, to call it what it's not. But policing, to me, was 95% communication and letting the person know what their options are. Like I would tell
right.
a guy, you speeding down 210. Now, this is on me. The first one's on me. I'm not going to write you a ticket, sir, because I'm here every day. This is my beat. I live here. Midnights, day work, and evenings. So now you can't speed on 210. But if you do it again, I'm going to write you a ticket. And most people, 90% of people would say, thank you, Officer Price, I'm not going to speed here again because I don't want a ticket. It's like on Eastern Avenue, they used to have those transsexuals, right? Transgender
right.
people, right? Giving head to these guys, you know, for $5. You know, you getting your giving an oral for $5, and I put the light in the car, and this here's some dude giving this other guy. He's dressed as a woman, but he's a dude. But he's giving somebody head. I put him at the car. I'm standing. He got a nice Mercedes, man, 2-seater Mercedes. I get the license and registration. The license, the car. It is vented to him and his wife.
Uh-huh.
I said, sir, you got to be crazy, man. I'm saying, now, this is on me. If I lock you up, you can't win this one. When your wife come to court and see this drag queen in her car sucking your Johnson, your marriage is dead. It'll never recover.
Right.
It'll never recover. So I said to you, this is on me. I'm not locking you up today. But if you had this dude, and I take the transcripts, I tell her, walk home. You walk home. Because I ain't taking you nowhere, and he ain't taking you nowhere. But you build my beat next week. If I see you again, I'm locking you up for prostitution, for solicitation. But those are the kind of things that I used to do to prevent somebody from being locked up. Because once you get locked up, man, it's a matter of your record. And now you can't be the police. You can't get a certain job because you was locked up for something stupid. You know what I mean? Something stupid.
Exactly.
I mean, people don't realize an arrest record, when you say you've been locked up, you don't want to ever have to check that box that you was locked up. Not unless it was something like, you know, like to say, like Elijah Cutler said, you got in good trouble. You got in something that was good trouble. You was protesting something. You know, it's for a
right.
law. You got locked up for something like that. Then that's not a bad situation. But if you get locked up for beating somebody up or stealing, like one year was Christmas time. This lady had a job at Walmart, and she's in there. Her friend ain't got no job, but she's gonna let her friend go get toys and stuff at Walmart and don't pay the cash for it. She's not scanning nothing. They got cameras. And they come and I have to lock her up. I said, man, you got to be crazy, man. Your friend don't have no, and she going to let you lose your job because you want to help her steal some toys for her kids? Or somebody say, give me your credit card, and I'm going to pay you back on when I get my welfare check. I'm going to pay you. They're not going to pay you back. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to pay you back.
You want to hear something, Russell? Let me hear you say something about police. My friends that police officers, I remember one day this police officer, he was, well, I guess, part-time job working at the Club Martinis. So one day he just said, man, you want to drive the squad car? I said, yeah. He said, he gave me the keys, told me to go up and crank the car. He said, just don't answer the radio. He told me don't answer the radio. So I got in the squad car, and I go – so you know where Martinis is. You go, you get on, what is it, Livingston Road. You get on Livingston Road.
Livingston Road.
Yeah, I went all the way around.
That's my beat. That's where I
worked at. So even going to tell you what I did, Russell. I was in the car, so I'm listening to the radio. And they had something that came on the radio like it was serious. And I'm debating, should I just go ahead and go over there? I came back. He said, "What took you so long?" I said, "Man, they got a crime in progress, and since I had the car, I was just thinking about going." And you remember the Maserati I had brought, right?
I'm in a Maserati. Car you had.
So
man.
One of the police officers, one that was a state patrolman, we was on 50 one time. He was like, "Chris, I want to see how fast that car is." And I swear, man, we raced from 495 to 50 all the way down to 301.
Damn. Well, you know, they used to do drag races. Yeah, midnight
he's on officer in the squad car. This is many, many years ago. So,
well, that's, wait,
hey,
wait,
everybody
wait,
on the phone, people, police officers and judges and military, they're just people too. They just have a
put together
constitution
to get
the power.
All the way down to Acton Keep, man. Every midnight, they would have drag races all the way down to 210 to Acton Keep, man. You know, 100 miles an hour.
100 miles an hour, ain't that crazy? Oh, a couple, until that
well,
guy
but,
got
you,
killed, right? There's a guy got a kid.
You know, we would drag race the police car down 210, you know, because it was midnight.
Oh, you
think midnight.
You and some,
nobody,
of your, some of your other police friends?
Huh? Yeah, you and other police officers,
you and some of the guys on the squad used to drag race each other.
Yeah, each other, because you'd be bored on midnight, there's nobody calling in Fort Washington. And Fort Washington, man, is completely dead after 12 o'clock, Chris. No, these people in their houses trying to pay rent, man. They ain't acting up in Fort Washington, man. You get, so the radio is dead from about 2 o'clock in the morning to about 6. There's no call.
Wow.
You can go to sleep if you want to. I mean, there's nothing to do between 2 and 6 o'clock in the morning in Fort Washington. That was my beat. It was sweet.
Wow.
It was sweet, man. So we used to drag race. I mean, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, we drag race. You could start at 210 and go all the way down to Acton Keep, man, 100 miles an hour, man. You just race each other. You know, but who's gonna stop you? You the police. I mean, who's going to say,
exactly,
you know, what you do? You know, you the police. So it's awesome. I'm telling you, Chris, this has been an awesome show. We covered some serious stuff today. And like I said, I want you to keep doing what you're doing. Keep making people laugh. These stars that are stars today, they don't have the wisdom that you have. Like you said something earlier about the Super Bowl, about Tom Brady had the wisdom. I mean,
he has the wisdom. It's because
he's
done it and he's seen it, so he knows what the field looks like. When little Jordy, they didn't know how to play Mahomes when he won the Super Bowl. They just didn't know it. They wasn't used to just running around, and they got him this time. And Tom Brady, he's for the older people. He's for the older people. So, people, you don't ever feel that you can't do it. As long as in bed is always, what did I say last week, Russell? You either come to bed as a champion, or you come as a contender.
But Tom Brady, I mean he just annihilated that man. I mean he made it look like he couldn't play no football at all. But to say
he's
a bad talent, it says total.
He's a champion,
right?
Now. He's not a contender.
Right. But this is his fourth Super Bowl or something
contender.
Like that.
Don't forget, if it had been a close game, they would sit there and say, well, they missed it by a touchdown. Nope. They were only able to kick field goals. Tom Brady
was throwing darts, and
I knew they was going to use Gronkowski. I knew they was going to use him. I said, they're just saving him if they can win these easy games, but he's going to be the – I swear, man, to you, I said, they're going to use Gronkowski, but they're not going to use him until a big game, and that's when they used him.
Yeah. It was a good game, man, but Tom Brady is truly the best quarterback out there now. He can take that to the bank, bro.
He's the best ever. You got to win that big game in order to be – hell with the yardage, hell with how many touchdowns, win. You're making money, so now all you got to do is get under your belt at least a Super Bowl. And watch how Dwayne Haskins do in Pittsburgh. If he go to Pittsburgh, that black coach's going to tell him, look, dude, you almost was gone. That $15 million that you got when you came into the NFL is nothing. That's 15 cents to them. You was about gone now. Let me show you and watch Big Ben, watch how he play, because you're around the same size, same height. And look where you don't have to run. You just got to be quick. Take the earring out of your ear. Take the gold off your neck. Stop acting like you ain't never had nothing and go ahead and play the game so you can become something after this.
Yeah.
Those guys who play Super Bowl with Tom Brady, guess what they get to say? For that, there's nothing they can't do no more. They was with the best. Every Super Bowl, they can say, I'm the guy that won the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Forever. Ain't nobody going to break that
forever.
Record, bro.
And that's on their resume. They're going to be looking like that forever.
That's exactly right. And Tom is always going to know who they are. This
you
game
always
will be so rememberable
guys,
because he's 43 years old.
Is that amazing, man? He won, what, 6 Super Bowls?
Seven
Super Bowls.
More
is that crazy?
Any franchise. Do you understand? He's won more than any franchise. That means that if he had stayed with the Patriots, then they would have had the record. But since he left them, he won one without them.
Man. That's amazing. He said he ain't done. He said he's coming back next year. He ain't done.
I hope he does. It makes everybody who's a little older, and you know, Samora used to have a joke. She said people used to say 30 is the new 20, 40 is the new 30, 50 is the new 40. And she said, if that is so, stress marks are the new tattoo.
You got that right, man. This has been a pleasure and an honor, Chris.
Thank you very much. I know Butch McAdams, I know he listened to the show, and I talked to Sylvia Traymore. You need to talk to her, too, because she's
been
with the COVID.
I'm going to have her on, too,
because
she's doing good. But I appreciate you, man. This has been pulling your eyelids open, and this morning we pulled your eyelids wide open with Chris Thomas. My name is Russell Price. I'm the publisher of Be There Magazine. I give it to you straight talk, no chaser. Information that's hard to swallow but good to know. We tell it to you like it is and give it to you where the ghost can get it. See you tomorrow morning. Wake up, everybody. Monday through Friday, pulling your eyelids open. Wake up.